declaring the salvation of Jesus Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
Well, so very grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, and we are so grateful on Abounding Grace to bring these radio broadcasts to you. We see it as a great opportunity and a blessing to advance the Word of God and to go back to the Scriptures and help Christians see the riches of God's Word, to return to expositional teaching and preaching of it, but also to reach those who do not believe with the message of the Christian gospel. If you've been touched and blessed by this program, we are a listener-supported program, so we ask that you would write us. If you have done that, we sincerely thank you for your support and prayer. Write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. And we will have a website up shortly here for you so that you can learn more about who we are and what we believe. Well, we are concluding our study today in Revelation chapter 4. What a beautiful section of scripture this is. Let me read a little bit and we'll finish this up today. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, "Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this." Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardis stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, voices. 7 lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. In the midst of the throne and around the throne were 4 living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf, the third living creature had the face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The 4 living creatures, each having 6 wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Well, this is Revelation chapter 4. You remember the context? Christians are really suffering on this earth. Christians are hurting and they can't reconcile how Jesus Christ could be reigning and these things on earth. In other words, what we confess about the victory of Christ, the victory of the gospel, the defeat of evil and the cross, everything we confess doesn't seem to be happening at all on the earth. And so John is given this vision where Jesus shows us an open door in heaven, and we are told to come up here in this vision. And there we see the true reality. There a throne is set. There is one where which proceed from that throne lightnings and thunderings and voices, and all around the throne, as we unpacked yesterday, the cherubim are doing his will. They are doing exactly what the Lord has decreed from the throne. He is at the center of the universe. He is the center of the universe. And so Jesus is more powerful than Caesar. Jesus is the true and eternal king to which every subject, every kingdom, every king should bow and confess that he is Lord. So this is where we are in Revelation. We've unpacked the imagery here of the glory all around the throne, the lamps burning, the Holy Spirit there, and all of his Shekinah glory radiation. And there are all the heavenly beings worshiping and praising. So the message here this week on Abounding Grace has been very clear. We're not just getting some kind of vision of heaven. We are getting, dear listener, a picture of the entire universe from heaven. And it should be affecting us. It shows us the great truth that everything that is happening in this world, that is happening to us, even as Christians, is sovereignly governed by Lord from the throne, which is set in heaven. What a beautiful imagery, isn't it? What simple imagery in Revelation. He's not left you alone amidst all of these hardships to handle it yourselves. Oh, I said yesterday, this doesn't remove us from hardship and tribulation, from hardships and struggle. No, but Jesus told us, in the midst of these horrors, do not be alarmed. How could he say that in the midst of all of these terrible things? How could I go through this? The Lord is telling us that he has a purpose in it for us. We're not here for us, are we? We have a witness. In our sufferings, in our struggles, remember what the Apostle Paul said with the thorn in the flesh? He asked the Lord to take it away. The Lord didn't. And then he realized through it that God's grace was sufficient for him. But when he's weak, it's then he's strong. If we have everything now, dear Christian, we have all the glory now that Osteen and all these pastors are telling us to get now. You think you really are going to want and long for heaven? This is not it. You're a citizen of another kingdom. Stop trying to make this home your world. That's the message here. You've got a purpose in the affliction and the struggle. And the struggle of the churches was lukewarmness and compromise and neglect and failure in the witness because they had not understood this struggle is what is the design of the Christian life here. Do you believe that the Lord is so in control of everything that he is working it out for good no matter what happens? That takes a lot of faith to believe that, doesn't it? If that's true, which the Bible says it is, then it should affect how we live, how we love, how we forgive, how our lives become living sacrifices of thanksgiving upon the sacrifice and service of somebody else's faith. What should it affect most of all? This is what I want us to leave with today. It's so important. What's happening right now in heaven? Listen to verse 4. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold in their hands. The four living creatures in verse 8 say, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And when this happens, verse 9, they give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. These 24 elders fall down and worship him who sits on the throne. They cast their crowns, saying, "You are worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." These 24 elders are often identified as representatives of the church on earth. What's happening in heaven, amidst all of the struggle down here, amidst all of the hardship, John looks up and all the heavenly council, those who've died in the Lord, all the angels and cherubim and seraphim are bowing down. That's worship. The choirs are shouting out God's holiness and his supreme worthiness to be glorified because he's the creator of all things and by his will we exist. Why is he showing you this today, dear listener? Because he wants you to taste in your struggle what you're longing for now on earth. He wants you to taste what is set apart for you in heaven. We all long for that glory now, even though we can't get it on earth. And it's almost like we go through the struggle on earth fighting so hard just to beat it that we miss its purpose. But he has given us, in the midst of all of this struggle, a place to taste what heaven is like. You see, in all of our struggles here, the greatest need today is to hear this call, come up here. You know what that is? That's an invite to his churches to enjoy already what is happening in heaven. This is exactly what the churches had forgotten. This, dear listener, my guess is what you've forgotten. That the worshipers Jesus is seeking are worshipers who worship in spirit and in truth. Most people have no idea what that is. What is the worship of spirit and truth? It is to be so delighted in the Lord Himself through the powerful Holy Spirit who bridges the gap of earth and heaven. Through the Word, when we gather together, we, having been redeemed as Christians, realize that we are before God's face. That our worship on earth is a foretaste of what's happening in heaven. In other words, the kind of worship and mission as a church that we offer is gathering together, honoring and blessing and trusting and giving glory to the Lord for making us and creating us and saving us. Let me ask this question. Do you think there's lukewarmness in heaven? Do you think people say, I don't really feel like going to the church today to worship? I hear so many supposedly Christians who are no part of a church at all. And they totally neglect, listen, they totally abandon and neglect the purpose for which they're created. It's to gather together with the community of faith and worship God. The reason so many Christians are out there going through this life lukewarm, you want to know why? It's because they've not yet learned to taste and experience what God has given to us on earth as a piece of heaven. Do you know what that is? Your greatest intimacy with God is not in the prayer closet, as important as the prayer closet is. Get that? Your greatest intimacy with God is not your own personal religion, not your own personal prayer life. Your greatest intimacy with God is gathering with His people to worship Him on the earth. Right out of Genesis, this is what they did. And men begin to gather and call upon the name of the Lord. Notice in heaven, that's what they're doing. They're all a great gathering of multitudes of God's people, the church, gathering together, not in individual prayer closets. They're gathering together, worshiping. You see, when we begin to taste and experience that in worship, you know what happens? You're given what you need for the hardships on this earth. That's what He does for you. He feeds you. He strengthens you. He assures you. He fixes your eyes heavenward so that you're not downcast, but lifted up. We talk a lot about revival today. We don't even know what that is today. You know where you're going to see real revival? Revival is seen when people in this earth in struggle, have tasted and enjoyed the worship of God here. When they long to come, when they're excited to come, when they're overjoyed to come. Because they've actually tasted and experienced amidst all the fiery trials of living in this chaos. They've actually experienced and enjoyed already a piece of what the glassy sea is like in worship. They've already enjoyed, over them is a rainbow, telling them that God's wrath is calmed and that His peace is given to them. Come up here, says this vision. That's what we do in worship. We join in spirit with the heavenly courts, having our minds and hearts renewed that Christ is sovereign, that He will protect us, never leaving us nor forsaking us. It's sad that Christians today have dumped worship. They don't view it very highly. They've eliminated most of it on the Lord's Day. And when they come, they just want to be entertained. That's not what's going on. Our eyes are fixed on Christ on that throne. May we see heaven's open door, for soon we will pass to that other side. Until then, the greatest taste and strength to endure is to enjoy His worship on the earth, testifying amidst all of our fiery trials that the Lord Jesus Christ is faithful to be with us until the very end. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program, and we humbly ask both for your prayerful and financial support. Write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. 732 is that P.O. Box. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.